the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed
to the twilight's last gleaming,
whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night fight.
You're right.
For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the Klingon bursting in air, they proved through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
It's time now for the OSG.
Three whoopies and a hot damn.
For sure, it's football time.
College.
The lateral to the corner of the end zone. Can you believe that?
Football.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
Preview show.
It's Division I football.
ACC.
SEC.
Big East.
Big 10.
Big 12.
Pac 10.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The stadium is worse. Bonkers.
Featuring expert pigskin commentary from the online sports guys.
How can you not love this place?
Let's kick off this show with your host, John Nelson.
Well, well.
Welcome to week two of the OSG College Football Review Preview Count Pointer Count Extravaganza. As you
and
wanted
talking
to say
a whole
week.
Lot.
Yeah, that. All right, we're supposed to do 5 good minutes on the week that was, but first, here's your mashup of all the folks that made news last week.
Not the typical Florida State Miami game. I mean, it's what you really look forward to when you play Florida State. For some reason, the last couple of years always come down to this last play of the game or last minute.
We had a chance to win it. Couldn't come up with the ball. That was probably the worst pass rush game in the history of college football. By them and us. We didn't come close. They didn't put any pressure on us.
We were hoping that this game would be a lot smoother than it was. They had a very good plan. We didn't execute very well. They executed better. Hopefully that having been up there against competition, we'll have a chance to move forward with it.
I mean, I learned something there. I didn't realize first of all, that first block, it seemed to take a while. It seemed like it took 2 minutes for me, but apparently it took 6 seconds. But the catch there was, it being a non-fourth down situation, the clock stops once they got possession. They fielded it behind the ball or the line of scrimmage, and so it becomes second down. I didn't know that the clock stopped.
I couldn't have envisioned anything worse than this right here, but I tell you what, that will never happen again. I will never lose my head like that again. And like I said, again, I apologize. I won't get mad. I will never resort to that level of sportsmanship this time. And I should have handled that situation a lot better than I did.
Well, that was a great football game, and we have to tip our cap to young men from the United States Naval Academy. We knew they would fight to the last play, and they did just that. We gave them a little help along the way in that fourth quarter and did some things that obviously you wish you could have back.
I committed to our team, our program, and our staff that I was going to have more fun. And none of it's manufactured. It's been bottled up for a while. And my hope is that the players see I'm sincere about it, the coaches see I'm sincere, and my role is becoming different. I love these kids, and I love to see them have success. And it's hard to show as much emotion when you're thinking about the next play to call. And having that now delegated, it's very liberating, and I enjoyed the game. Maybe more so than I have any game since I've been the coach. And the way the kids played is what brought it out. They deserve the credit. I was just a cheerleader.
We realized that we were moving the football on them, and we realized that our defense was getting stops. And I think our team just built momentum, and all of a sudden we're looking around like, we're right here. We're right here with these guys, and we can play with these guys. So I think that just generated a lot of momentum for us. And going into halftime, we felt like it was our game to win. And we knew that they were kind of getting tired and beat down, and we came out and kept battling. And fortunately pulled it off.
I'll be real honest with you. The thing that surprised me the most is the thing that I'm most responsible for is our team being absolutely ready to play football. And we were not ever at a level, in my opinion, in that game. We were never at a level that I have seen us practice this entire camp.
All right, let me see if I can get all of our credits correct. Shannon and Bowden, courtesy of WSVN in Miami. Al Groh, WCAV-TV in Charlottesville. LeGarrette Blunt, was that Cave Allen Eugene?
Cave Allen Eugene.
Okay, Trestle is WBNS in Columbus. Max Hall is KUTV in Salt Lake City. Kirk Ferentz, KWWL in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And Coach Cutcliffe, 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. So what about last week?
An interesting way to start a college football season. It started wacky on Thursday and just got wackier as it went. And the whole LeGarrette Blount Boise State Oregon fiasco.
Ugh.
It just got weirder.
Okay, who do you side with in that fiasco? Did Byron Hout get what he deserved? How far does your blame go in that?
I mean, ultimately it falls on Blount. Because first of all, as a senior, he should know better than to get involved in something like that. Whether you win, lose, or otherwise, you just walk away from something like that.
But he ran his mouth leading into that game.
You can't fix stupid.
Yeah, he did. And not only did he turn around and drop him basically in one shot.
Dropped a tackle, too, with a right cross.
Brilliant!
He made it worse by fighting with other players on his team, his coach, resisting everybody, and then trying to get into it with the crowd as he was leaving.
Yeah, because the one guy in the crowd dropped an F-bomb, and that set him off again. And Scott Frost, yes, that's Scott Frost, had to restrain him.
There's no excuse for that,
none.
Bottom
none
line.
None whatsoever, no.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
I mean, one thing unto itself is bad, the three combined. There is no excuse. But that got things off to a pretty interesting start.
Yeah, no kidding.
They had some pretty weird games on Saturday.
Yeah, I know.
Talk about the Iowa-Northern Iowa game.
Oh, you got a feel for that kicker for Northern Iowa, man.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
I feel for everybody on the Northern Iowa team. It's bad enough to get a kick blocked at the end of the game once. But
how about
to have
twice?
But to have it happen twice?
Oh, no. And I knew what the ruling was immediately. And as you heard from Kirk Ferentz, I learned something new. How could you not know that rule?
That's a good question, because he's been a coach for a long time.
Because didn't that happen in a Georgia Tech game once where it was blocked on third down and they had the chance to do it over again? This was back when O'Leary was coach.
Yeah, I seem to remember that.
Yeah, and because it was third down, that's the whole idea of kicking on a down that's not fourth.
Right, and there are coaches all over college and professional football that have done that multiple times for that very reason.
You know, you're cleverer than you look.
Still better than looking cleverer than you are.
So that's why Ferentz is in Iowa.
And that's why Iowa, as usual, as tradition for the past several years with them, is overrated. Obviously, they're not that good of a team.
Bradford out a month, Jermaine Gresham out for the year.
And Oklahoma's season down the sewer already.
Wow.
With less than a game in, and their season's basically over.
Booby kaboom.
I mean, their two best players are injured. Granted, Bradford probably will come back at some point,
Miami.
But by that point, the season's probably already lost.
Does Al Groh go?
From the bottom of my heart, yeah!
What do you think?
Wilk, you'll get into that in the ACC segment.
Come on, it's bad enough that they lost to Bill and Mary out of the blocks. They play TCU this week. Not going to get any better.
Good luck with that. Minute left. What else?
Got to talk about Ohio State and Navy.
Well, but Navy's a good team, though. Everybody's freaked out about that.
Navy. Well, but in most people's eyes, Navy's not an Ohio State-level team. Ohio State is expected to be a top 5, top 10 team every year, and Navy's not.
Well, yeah, but, you know, with what Ken Niumatalolo has done there, taking over for all that stuff.
Yeah, I dare you to spell
Johnson.
That.
Niumatalolo. That was easy. He just took over for Paul Johnson, same things. And you wonder how that's going to affect them against USC. We'll get into that in a little bit. Parting shot.
A bad week to be a member of the ACC.
Yeah.
I mean, the only saving grace really they had at all this week was the Miami-Florida State game on Monday night, which was a pretty good game if you watched it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Painful as it may have been for you.
Nope, didn't watch it.
But Virginia losing to Bill and Mary and Duke losing to Richmond and Wake losing to Baylor.
Yeah.
North Carolina State looking pretty poor on offense against South Carolina.
Yeah.
Not a good week to be the ACC.
No. Wilkie will get into the ACC in a little bit. When we come back, we're going to start the week that will be. And we'll start with Ohio State and USC on the OSG Sports Radio Count Pointer Count College Football Review Preview Show on the OSG Sports Radio Network.
The Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
The stadium rocks and swings.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
Gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Welcome back, OSG Sports Radio, Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show. And I kind of cheated with this first one because there's more than one good game in the 10.
Well, it's kind of relative. I mean, the 10 being what it is.
Yeah. But... and since Ohio State's the home team for this one, and we're going to talk about Notre Dame and Michigan next segment, I figured that we'd go ahead and do the Big Ten, Pac-10 hybrid for the first of these two segments.
Sure.
And your trends in this one, USC and Ohio State. Southern Cal 1-4 against the number, their past five on the road. The under is 8-2 in the past 10 Ohio State September home games. And as I go fishing for the odds on this one, started out USC 4.5. It's now up to 7.
Interesting.
Quite.
I don't know if that's a 7-point game. I think USC's the better team.
Yeah.
The question is, how's Matt Barkley going to handle playing in front of 100,000 screaming Buckeye faithful in Columbus?
Yeah, and that's, we'll see if we can get some answers from Pete Carroll and Jim Tressel.
What we have to do is play really well under those circumstances and handle it properly and take advantage of this great opportunity to win a big-time game on the road that will help us, as other games have in years past. You know, if you can get this first big matchup and put it behind you and get a win with it, it means a lot to your confidence in the preparation going into other games that will be obviously big as we go on through the Pac-10 schedule.
Southern Cal was obviously very impressive in their opening game. They're going to be a great football team again. I thought their young quarterback demonstrated a command that might have been beyond his years for a youngster that just came in the spring and had some spring practice and probably had some increased reps a little bit this preseason because of the injury to the other fella and took advantage of that and grabbed the job and stepped up and was very efficient.
Barkley seemed to handle himself fairly well, but you know that Pete Carroll wanted to kind of gradually work him in.
Well, and he did start a little slow. The first quarter was a little rough for them, but they got better as the game went.
56 unanswered against San Jose State.
Yeah. This is going to be a test. I mean, I don't think Ohio State's the Ohio State that they've been in the past few years. I don't think they're as good as people think they are.
Am I going mad? Or did the word... think escape your lips.
But they're still Ohio State, and they're still playing at home.
Okay, J-Dub, really quickly, let's start Pac-10 games that we're not talking about, so go ahead and jump in.
Well, thanks, John. I think it's kind of funny that we're starting with the Pac-10 since two of the teams in this are in everybody's bottom five, considering everybody from Washington. But anyway, let's start with the teams that don't have lines yet. Eastern Washington's taking on the number 10 Cal Bears, who had a big win last week over Maryland. I don't think this is going to be even a contest. California, 10th in the nation, are going to run away against the Eagles. The other game that doesn't have a line right now, as of taping, Arizona versus Northern Arizona. Do I even need to mention this game? That's at 10 o'clock on Saturday. Now let's look at the other game, Stanford versus Wake Forest. I think the Cardinals are going to take this one. They've got a 3:45 line right now, and Wake Forest is still hurting after their loss against Baylor. So we'll see how that happens. That is at 12 o'clock on Saturday. Then you've got Idaho against Washington. Whew, The Vandals are getting 20.5-53 over the Huskies. That's at 3:30 on Saturday. Again, I think the Vandals are going to run away with that one. UCLA versus Tennessee. UCLA, the Bruins, getting 10-46.5. That game's at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Lane Kiffin had a good start with Tennessee, but I think he's going to hit his first road bump this Saturday. Then you've got Hawaii and Washington State. The Rainbows are getting 2.5-55 against Washington State. I tell you, Washington State's looking pretty darn sad this year. Then you got Purdue versus Oregon. Purdue, the Boilermakers, are getting 13.5-58 over the Ducks. I guess, you know, without LeGarrette Blount, what are you going to do? Then Oregon State versus UNLV. The Running Rebs are down. Oregon State's getting 7.53 against UNLV. That game is at 11 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. Those are your Pac-10 lines. John, Phil, back to you.
Okay, keep going.
Keep going about what?
Whatever. Oh, USC, Barkley, Ohio State, whatever you want to talk about.
I mean, USC still loaded at tailback. Joe McKnight had a huge game that first game, and expect that to continue. I think they're going to try and run the ball and establish that they can make it slug it out with Ohio State before they have to make Barkley try to win the game by himself. Don't you agree?
No, yeah. I mean, I think that it's going to be they're going to run like 14 running backs at Ohio State, and I think for the first couple of games this year until Barkley gets his sea legs, his numbers won't be spectacular. They might be 11 for 20, 135 yards, a couple of scores. I noticed he dumped off to the tight end, and that's, you know, it's a good sign for a young quarterback to go with your dump-off routes this early in your thought process.
Yeah, the flip side of that, Ohio State, you got Terrell Pryor, but then the question is, who else do you have?
Yeah. And that's going to be the larger issue for Ohio State. Pryor, I don't think he's going to be wearing any salutations to seven again under his eyes this week like he did in the first game.
Let's hope not.
And I think that it's if Ohio State can keep the score manageable, meaning both teams in the 20s, 13-10, 13-14,
then they have a shot.
They're there. But if USC gets wound up, then they're done.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. What else we got to talk about in that?
Let's see. Pac-10, Purdue at Oregon. Oregon, 12.5. I really don't care about that one. Washington is now a 21-point favorite, hosting one of the worst in the bottom five, Idaho. Let's see. Washington State is hosting Hawaii, and they're a 2.5-point dog at home.
Yeah, and they should be.
Yeah.
Granted, Hawaii's not Hawaii under June Jones a couple years ago.
Right.
But Washington State's not bearing any resemblance to really a decent football team.
Right.
That should be a Hawaiian route.
Yeah, and that'll be in Pullman, and we'll get into Washington State when we get to the dozen and the five. And there are a lot of other road games with teams in the Pac-10 that we'll get into in the other conferences because, like I said, I cheated in this one. So we could get this game in since there were two Big Ten games. Last thoughts on the Pac-10 and on this game before we get out of here?
Not really too much to say there. I mean, Purdue-Oregon should be an interesting game just to see how Oregon bounces back from what happened to them at Boise and all the controversy that was surrounding them with that.
Yeah.
Purdue's not a great team this year. They're young and they've got a lot of rebuilding ahead of them. And it's a long way for them to travel out to play the Ducks.
Yeah.
But that's a game to watch. I think that one might be an interesting game before it's all said and done.
10:15 Eastern time for those of you with the clickers. When we come back, more on the 10, just because there's more than one good home game. And, yes, I cheated and broke the rules. So coming up in the next block, it'll be Notre Dame and Michigan and the rest of the stuff in the Big Ten on the OSG Sports Radio Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on the OSG Sports Radio Network.
Stay tuned. More college football previews are coming up on this special edition of Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Michelin Man presents things truck owners can rely on most, like Michelin LTX tires and man's best friend. Isn't that right, Rex? Rex? Where'd you go? Well, you can still rely on Michelin LTX tires, the most proven light truck tires for durability and toughness, making Michelin LTX tires man's new best friend.
To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-888-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
Netflix interviews, take one.
Oh, Netflix is the best because it shows up in my mail.
And then there's no late fees.
Go online and make a list of the movies you want from over 60,000 titles and get your first DVDs in the mail in about one business day.
First thing we say when we walk in the door is, did you check the mail? Is there a movie in there?
Keep them as long as you want. No late fees. Return one in a prepaid envelope and Netflix automatically sends you another from your list.
For me, Netflix has been awesome.
Netflix, the DVDs you want.
Two very large twins and the man who squeezes himself between them.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Welcome back. Segment 3, OSG Sports Radio College Football Preview Show on the OSG Sports Radio Network. And yes, I cheated. And yes, this particular segment we're going to focus...
Yeah, but you're the host. You can do that.
Right. So this week, this particular segment...
Don't you love the outdoor studio here, by the way?
Yes, I do. Well, that's what happens when you're having lunch and you're multitasking. Big Ten games that we don't care about. J-Dub, take it.
Thanks, John. I do appreciate it. Oh, and by the way, I do agree with Phil. You're the host. You can do whatever the heck you want. Anyway, lots going on in the Big Ten this week besides Notre Dame and Michigan. We'll get into that in this segment. You got Eastern Michigan, Northwestern, Western Michigan, Indiana, Fresno State, Wisconsin, Syracuse against number 7, Penn State. By the way, it was very good to see Jopa back on the sidelines last week. Central Michigan versus Michigan State, Iowa versus Iowa State. Those games all at 12 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. Then you have Air Force Minnesota and Illinois State versus Illinois. Both of those games have 7 o'clock kickoffs. Number 3, USC versus number 8, Ohio State. That's going to be a doozy. That game has an 8 o'clock kickoff, Eastern Standard Time. And then Purdue versus Oregon. We talked about that last segment. The Boilermakers and the Ducks kick off at 10:15 p.m. John, Phil, back to you.
Okay, the game in the 10 that we do care about is Notre Dame and Michigan. Let's go ahead and hear from our particulars. Charlie Weiss and Rich Rodriguez.
Our team on the road is not one of those teams that are treating it like it's a vacation. And I'd like to sit there and take the credit for it, Pete, but it's not really not that way. I think that the fact that they look at it more like a business trip, like we're coming to go to work, I think that that really allows you, when you go on the road, to put all your attention and all your detail into one and one thing only, and that's playing the game. And when you go on a road, especially to a place like the Big House, if you can get on top of them early and quiet the crowd, it makes it a little easier to play.
Well, I'm sure Greg and the defensive staff will look at it, but I'm sure Notre Dame is as well. I look at what Greg and did with them last year because it was a nice win for them, and I'm sure they'll prepare for that scheme. Again, they're a year older. Most of their offensive players are back, and you know, Clawson's got another year under his belt, and he's performing at a very high level in his last several ball games. So we have to have a nice plan for him, and defensively, we played really well at times Saturday. Second half, not as well, but we'll have to play really well to win this one.
All right, 4 good minutes on this one.
That might be a bit of a challenge.
Well, but... think about
both teams got off to better. I will say both teams got off to better starts in week one than they were expected to.
Yeah, but now the big question is, the loser in this game is probably going to get a very warm seat.
Yes, yes, they will, and it's probably deserved. I think Rich Rod may have bought himself some time
by beating Western
and beating them resoundingly. But they lose to Notre Dame this week at the Big House, all bets are off.
Right now, they're a 3-point dog. Your total is anywhere from 48.5 to 50.
Yeah, that whole buying time thing is great for a week. In the overall big picture, I don't know if it's there.
Tate Forcier, I think, is your starting quarterback this week.
Oh, I think he pretty much solidified that with a 3-touchdown performance last week.
At least he's not. At least it wasn't 3 quarterbacks and 1 touchdown performance.
No, that made things a little bit easier. That did definitely make it easier, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, theoretically, based on what you saw last week, these two teams should be in a shootout.
Yeah, you know, you've got Jimmy Clawson, who seems to be coming into his own now with Notre Dame in that offense. I think the light went on with the bowl game last year.
Yeah, it looks like that may have been the case. And we've got to have to reserve a little bit of judgment just because last week wasn't really a true test for him.
No.
But, yeah, it's starting to look like things are starting to click for him after being hyped as the greatest thing since LeBron James coming out of high school.
I thought that was Ron Paulus.
Well,
four-time Heisman Trophy winner.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Yeah, and older brother to Greg Paulus.
Yes.
But that's a separate issue.
Actually, no, it's not, because right now Penn State is a 29-point favorite hosting Syracuse.
I agree. Penn State's probably the, at least in my opinion, Penn State is the best team in the 10 this year.
Yeah.
The Cuse isn't the Cuse of last year.
They showed some fight in week one.
Right, and I think they'll show some fight this week, but they don't have the horses to run right now with Penn State.
And speaking of Michigan State, they get Central in Lansing, 14.5-point favorite.
That should be interesting. The Fighting Lefevers.
Yes.
That game might be kind of fun to watch. Mark D'Antonio's got Michigan State moving in the right direction, but they're all, as usual, they're a notch or two below the Penn States and even maybe the Ohio States of the world.
Yeah.
But Central's a team you got to watch out for.
Oh, you better watch your tongue, young man. You better watch it.
If you're not on your toes on defense, the Fighting Lefevers can come up and bite you in the ass.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Well, I think that says fragile, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of directional Michigan squads, Eastern is playing Northwestern, and the Wildcats are a 19.5-point favorite.
What direction are they going in?
Eastern's going to Northwestern.
By way of Southern, or
I'm guessing, yeah, something like that. I forgot who Eastern played last week. Let's see. Here's another interesting game. I was kind of torn when it came to the 12. Wisconsin hosting Fresno State.
I think I like Fresno State in that one.
You're getting 8.5.
I think Wisconsin's on a big down cycle right now. And you talk about another coach on a hot seat.
Bielema, no kidding.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if Fresno comes in and takes one away from there. Fresno's got a good, strong, solid squad this year.
Tim Brewster and the rest of the Punkies are hosting Air Force, Minnesota 3.5-point favorite.
And the Brewster struggled a little bit with Syracuse last week in the dome.
Yep.
Air Force is Air Force. They're always a little tricky to play just because of the offense that they run.
Right.
But I think that game's the Brewsters to lose.
Indiana hosting Western Michigan, 1.5 to a point favorite there. Let's see. And we talked about USC, Ohio State in the last block. And quoting James Cromwell in Babe, that'll do, pig.
Okay.
That's it for block number three. When we come back, it's the SEC.
Because we are all about
college football. And since we're based here in Atlanta, it's the center of the SEC universe. When the OSG Sports Radio Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show continues on the OSG Sports Radio Network.
Don't run to the concession stand just yet. More college football is on the way. You're listening to the Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
Have you ever had a diet fail because you were hungry all the time?
If you have, don't worry. It's not your fault. It's almost impossible to lose weight if you're always hungry. Hi, I'm Scott Johnson.
And I'm Steve Bostick. We're the creators of Right Size Smoothies. The secret is a cutting-edge appetite manager called Appamine.
It's in the smoothie. You drink the smoothie, it knocks out your appetite, it helps you burn more calories than you take in safely and without being hungry.
And that's what leads to weight loss. I just talked to someone who ordered Right Size. Her name is Anne, and she's already lost 17 pounds.
Because it's such a great product, we're going to do something crazy here. We're going to let you try Right Size smoothies free for 2 full weeks.
Just call within the next 15 minutes, and our operators are going to tell you how you can try our smoothies free. See how it works for you, and either you lose the weight or you'll never pay for them.
Call within the next 15 minutes for your free trial of Right Size Smoothies. 1-800-644-1291. That's 1-800-644-1291. 1-800-644-1291.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Here we go again. Dork alert.
Why the hell am I talking to you? Piss off.
Welcome back to the College Football Preview on the OSG Sports Radio Network. SEC this time around. And
SEC.
We get to
SEC.
Follow.
SEC.
Yeah, where's Blakeney? SEC. South Carolina at Georgia, 3:30 kick on the eye, I believe. Is it their game of the week or is it on the four letter?
That's 7:30 kick on the deuce.
Okay, well then there you go. South Carolina's last five games against Georgia have been played under the total. Georgia is 6-1 straight up their past seven against South Carolina, and let's hear from Mark Richt and Steve Spurrier.
Practice today. South Carolina, they are they're 1-0. They're really an outstanding football team. I think as I look at this game, I'm seeing two defenses that played pretty darn good, two offenses that are trying to find their way, and more than likely the special teams will be the deciding factor in this one.
It was a very conservative attack. We had some bad plays on about three of those occasions, but it was it was a little too conservative at times there. And hopefully we can get the ball moving around a little bit better this game.
All right, South Carolina, their defense is just going to come after Georgia because I don't think anyone's intimidated by Joe Cox right now.
No, they're not. Joe Cox a little defensive this week after his performance at Oklahoma State.
Is that the walk a mile in my shoes quote?
That is the walk a mile in my shoes quote.
Wow.
That worries me a little bit just for the simple fact that we're only one game into the season. And Georgia, quite honestly, most people didn't think Georgia was going to beat Oklahoma State to begin with.
Things that make you go...
Yeah, we pretty much had Oklahoma State now and all across the board.
I think he needs to just relax, not worry about it, and just play football. But, yeah, you're right. This game is traditionally, I've been to the last five or six of these.
I know.
And every year, it's a 10-7, 17-13 kind of a game.
Yeah.
It's physical. It's intense. Georgia doesn't necessarily consider South Carolina the rival that South Carolina considers Georgia.
Right.
But it makes for a pretty darn physical old-school football game.
Well, and when you understand where South Carolina is coming from, I think Steve Spurrier doesn't want Steven Garcia to do a whole lot. Just manage the game, get us in, get us out, and keep us in it. And it's the defense that is going to create short fields for Garcia so they can get their points.
Right. And, I mean, Eric Norwood, a fantastic linebacker, can't-miss pro prospect, leads that defense. And, quite honestly, Georgia's going to have to be ready. They're going to have to make some sort of play happen downfield. The first drive of their game against Oklahoma State, they looked fantastic. Marched
down the field. And then they went five wide and completely just abandoned that game plan.
Yeah. I mean, find a plan, figure out who you are, and stick to it.
Yeah. Now, Willie Martinez with Georgia, as far as I can gather, really hasn't given the Georgia defense a mean streak.
They showed a little bit more of one this first week than they did last year.
Okay.
There is some talent there. The injuries have resolved themselves. I think they're going to be fine on defense.
Okay.
That's not going to be the problem for them. The problem seemed to be getting the offense in gear.
Well, I would just say run the ball until they stop you and then keep running the ball.
Well, but you've also, for Georgia, you got A.J. Green, and you got to get him involved in the game.
But you know at the same time, though, that A.J. Green's going to be doubled. They're going to have to come up with other alternatives, which is probably where Orson Charles comes into play, Sean Chappas, and
Michael Moore.
Yeah, so you've got to have these other options because you know that they're going to double A.J. Green the entire time.
Oh, yeah, and they should. I mean, that's your game changer right there.
And to think he's only going to be around for one more year.
Indeed.
Let's see. What other games are there in the SEC that J-Dub will talk about?
Thanks, John. I tell you, every time you mention the old ball coach's name, I just cringe. The Redskins fan, Steve Spurrier, just put a bad taste in my mouth. So I'm really glad he's back out of the pros and back into college football where he belongs, I guess. Lots of stuff going on in the SEC this week. You got number one Florida taking on the Troy Trojans. Ooh, I guess they won't need a Trojan horse in that one. That's at 12:21 kickoff, believe it or not. We've already talked about UCLA-Tennessee. You've got number 11 LSU versus Vanderbilt. The Commodores don't stand a chance in that one. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. Another 7 o'clock kickoff as well. You got Mississippi State State against the Tigers of Auburn. That should be a fairly one-sided match favoring the Tigers. Then you've got Florida International versus number 4 Bama Crimson Tide. I think St. Nick's going to come out on top on that one. John, Phil, back to you.
Auburn hosting Mississippi State. Dan Mullen on the road, 14-point favorite there for Auburn.
I don't think, after last year's game, I'm not sure either team will score 14 points.
Well, being at the Auburn game last week and seeing them put 30-plus up against Louisiana Tech, they found the running game with Ontario McCaleb, and there was some life in the Auburn offense, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt after week one. UCLA in the passion buckets go to Tennessee. Tennessee, 8.5, 9-point favorite.
Yeah, and they probably should be. UCLA and the Fighting Neuheisels, a good team. I'm not totally sold yet on Tennessee either, but I think because of where they're playing, that'll be the big difference maker in this. I mean, Jonathan Crompton showed signs last week of putting it all together, but then again, he was playing against Western Kentucky.
Right.
How much of a measuring stick that is, I don't know.
The new road game is here. Vandy's at LSU. LSU's gone from a 12 to a 15.
And they should be. Vanderbilt's a solid team. As long as Bobby Johnson stays the coach there, they're always going to be solid. And LSU look good on offense. The defense still's got some question marks. Despite John Chavis being there and putting his mark on it, they didn't really stop anybody last week.
No kidding. The Fighting Cristobals are heading to Alabama to play the Crimson Tide. And Troy is a 36-point dog at Florida.
Should we just call the first two games of the year the exhibition season for Florida? It's like playing Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah, well, that's how they get warmed up. That'll do for the SEC. When we come back, Wilkie is on site. He will talk about the ACC, and his focus will be TCU and what's left of Al Groh's coaching career at the University of Virginia. When the OSG Sports Radio Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show continues on the OSG Sports Radio Network.
The Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
The stadium rocks and swings.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer, and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-231-7911 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-231-7911. 1-800-231-7911.
If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
See, you guys, you never listen to me. I said that there was going to be trouble, but you didn't listen to me. You guys are crazy. You know, you guys are self-destructive. There's a funny farm that has your name written all over it.
Well, ACC fans, week one is over with. Let's just forget about it, because week two is a new week, a new set of games, and perhaps the ACC will get a second chance to make a first impression. We're going to shift our focus now to Charlottesville, Virginia, where TCU travels to Charlottesville to take on the Virginia Cavaliers at Scott Stadium. We all know what happened at that venue last week when the Cavaliers hosted William & Mary and ended up losing that game thanks to 7 turnovers, and they lost that game 26-14 to William & Mary. The Cavaliers only having 268 yards in total offense. They take on a TCU team that has done well in the past in season openers. You see, this is the first game of the year for TCU. Now, let's hear from both coaches. First from TCU coach Gary Patterson, and then from Virginia head coach Al Groh.
Well, finally, we get a chance to get into game week. So
I can tell you, if I had to do it all over again, I wish we'd already played, because you'd have all those jitters out. We've had 2 weeks of getting ready instead of 1 week. We'll see how it turns out. Like I told somebody on my conference call earlier, I think the strengths of the way playing a ball game early for Virginia is they get a chance to know what they have. They get a chance to correct it and get better. And for us, you know, we got a chance to watch it on ESPN 360 and get a chance to kind of know what they're like. And our advantage is, you know, we got another week to prepare and get our team better. I guess we'll find out after the game if which way works. But I'm glad to be in game week, knowing that we're getting ready to go. Well, I haven't watched the game, and you know, it just, to me, 7 turnovers. It doesn't matter who you are. It's really hard to win ball games. But after watching, I thought they were very good on defense. They only gave up 50 or 60 yards in the second half, and didn't give up very many at all. And then that's with 7 turnovers in field position. I don't think William and Mary was really good in third down percentage. And offensively, they look very skilled at the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver positions. And obviously, they have 4 out of 5 offensive linemen coming back, so they played a lot of football. So their punter is a very good player. I mean, all the way down to their snapper, I don't think they have a weakness. You know, the key is sometimes, you know, things just happen. So we understand. What we're going to do is we just got to worry about TCU. We don't know what Virginia has one way or the other. We know they're a good football program. They're a good football team.
Well, we feel it's very, very challenged in every respect by this team. They're a very good team. Their numbers last year indicated 11 wins once again. I think that's the fourth or fifth time over the last 7 or 8 years they've won 11 games. Not too many teams do that. They were number one in the country in total defense last year, number two in scoring defense, number 20 in scoring offense. So they score a lot. They don't get scored on very much. They don't give up very many yards. They're a real good team in every respect. Obviously, to win 11 games, they would have to be that. Well, probably because of the nature, the similarities between two of our quarterbacks, Vic and Jameel, and the active game that they're going to be playing, running and passing with the ball, that those two guys, in one respect, are the same entity. That doesn't mean that necessarily both of them will play the same, but we have two to play one position. That is that style quarterback, and that always allows us, or we would think that would allow us to at least always have one in the ready. Mark's a little bit different style. He can do those things, but he's a little bit more of a pocket guy, so it's a little bit more what the game might call for in each particular circumstance. So until one steps up and establishes that this is the guy that you can ride, which hasn't been the case so far, then we feel it'll be necessary to use whoever and how many are necessary to get the position to play well enough. Clearly, as we searched throughout the game last week for the level of performance that we needed, we searched in all three areas and really weren't able to come up with enough.
Okay, let's start with Virginia, and there's a couple of schools of thought here. Virginia was totally embarrassed last week against William and Mary, and also embarrassed the ACC with that loss, losing 26-14. Now, Virginia could come out totally focused, fired up, and ready to prove the fans, the Cavalier fans, wrong. They could salvage this season. TCU, meanwhile, has the best defense, at least last year, had the best defense in the nation. And Jerry Hughes is a special player, their defensive end. He was a finalist for the Bronco Nagurski Award last year, and he's on the watch list this year. Keep in mind, Virginia only had 268 yards of total offense against William and Mary, so they're facing a pretty stout defense, the one that was the top defense in the country last year. Also keep in mind, another advantage for TCU here is that they are pretty darn good in season openers. They're 6-2 under Gary Patterson when they've opened the season. But here's a stat that really jumped out at me. The Frogs have a 4-game winning streak in road season openers with wins over Tulane in 2003, Oklahoma, remember that game in 2005, Baylor, and New Mexico. And they haven't allowed a touchdown in the last 2 season openers. So it really doesn't bode well for Virginia, because TCU's coming in here as a pretty hot program. And Virginia, well, they're a little down after that loss to William & Mary. If they come out fired up and ready to prove to the Cavalier fans that they can salvage this season, they may have a little advantage, knowing that this is TCU's first game of the year, and they were able to look at some of the issues they had against William & Mary, and there were many, where TCU is playing their first game of the year. Another thing, Virginia needs to settle on a quarterback. Vic Hall, Jameel Sewell, and Mark Vareka all played against William & Mary. So So they'll need to settle on one quarterback against TCU to be successful. Of course, if TCU gets the win, well, it'll be another feather in the cap for the Mountain West Conference, who went 2-1 last week against the Big 12. So it'll be another feather in the cap for that conference that really comes up big against BCS schools. All right, that does it for the ACC angle. We pitch it back to John and Brother Phil for the Big 12, little Cougar and Cowboy action, and the rest of the action in the Big 12 coming up on the College Football Preview Show here on the OSG Radio Network.
Stay tuned. More college football previews are coming up on this special edition of Count Porter Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 866-697-5821. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 866-697-5821 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 866-697-5821. That's 866-697-5821.
Back F-Truth for the College Football Preview Show here on the OSG Sports Radio Network. Our game of focus is a bit of a wild card game. Houston and Oklahoma State.
Cover your eyes. Be sure you have your calculator with you on that one.
Bet the over right now. Houston is 1-7 against the number in their last eight games on the road. Oklahoma State 14-0 straight up in September. Since 2002, let's hear from the head coaches, Kevin Sumlin of Houston, and courtesy of our friends at NewsOK.com and the Daily Oklahoman, Mike Gundy.
You know, we're probably a little different style of football team than Georgia, so we present some other issues for them. But there's no doubt that they're, you know, if you look across the board as a coach, you have to respect the job that their staff has done and Mike has done, because they've got weapons everywhere.
Obviously, everybody's aware of the quarterback and running back and receivers that they play with. They've been very successful. And from what we've seen on tape, they've improved on defense. They can run to the football. They've done a good job of bringing players in that can step in and help them immediately, in my opinion. And so we'll have to have a great week of preparation for Saturday's game.
Okay, now back to us. And the pinball game, Houston and Oak State.
Yeah, that should be interesting. That should be very interesting.
Case Keenum, the name and a phrase that pays.
I'm not even sure what to think about this. I mean, Oklahoma State, obviously, just through the numbers that you just went through, traditionally they start strong every year, but they always fade down the stretch.
Because their schedule gets a little tougher than all these outside the box games that they're playing.
But they started strong. They looked good against Georgia once they got their feet.
Georgia made them look better than they were themselves.
But, oh, I would agree.
But no one can stop, you know, Zach Robinson and Dez Bryant. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they've got a good running attack. And Parrish Cox had a huge game. They're a good team. I don't know how deep they are. I don't know necessarily that they're the best team in the 12. That title probably going to Texas, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, and good enough to make the cover of Sports Illustrated regionally this week.
Yes, they did.
And I'm actually looking forward to seeing how many points this game puts up. I really am. I mean, I'm fairly certain and confident that Oklahoma State will get the Duke in this one, but right now the total is at 67.
Yeah, you might need to go take the over on that. Houston, say what you will about them. For years, they've been traditionally a high-scoring team. I don't see that trend changing. Oklahoma State's defense isn't bad, but they're not that good either.
Right. So let's check the other games in the 12 as I'm scanning and killing time. Texas Tech and the Pirates, 27.5-point favorite, playing Rice. We'll talk about Rice a little bit later on for the obvious reason. Missouri's hosting Bowling Green. They're a 19-point favorite there.
So this is the week the 12 plays their exhibition games?
Gets their jobbers out of the way. Nebraska hosting Arkansas State. The Red Wolves, a 23 or 24-point dog in Lincoln. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and not really much to talk about when they're playing dog games like that, are there?
Yeah. So much for the 12. When we come back, it will be... What are we doing here? It's, the East.
The East?
The East is next when the OSG Sports Radio Count Point or Count College Football Preview Show continues on the OSG Sports Radio Network.
Don't run to the concession stand just yet. More college football is on the way. You're listening to the Count Point or Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
Football fans know the Hail Mary, but few know its origins. In 1967, at a game in Poughkeepsie, a hailstorm struck. The quarterback shouted to his girlfriend, "Hail Mary," but he was too late, and Mary was hit by a hailstone the size of a grapefruit. In his anguish, he threw the ball 90 yards. Of course, his team won. Of course, this story is also false, kind of like the idea that UPS is only fast on the ground. The truth is, UPS is fast whether you ship via ground or air, across town or across the globe. UPS, what can Brown do for you?
So, John and I are thinking of going to Cancun, if we can find a good deal.
It's funny. So are Dan and I.
It's time to play Take On Orbits. Today's players want a total vacation, hotel plus flight, and must save over $300. Go.
I need a deal to Cancun.
Oh, that's outrageous. Done. Congratulations.
Thanks.
It's that easy. Next time, Orbits and go.
I drove over to the Sonic Drive-In, ordered a jalapeno burger, a chicken fried steak sandwich, a chili cheese dog with extra onions, french fries, tater tots, washed it down with one beer, two beers, three beers, a shot of whiskey, a margarita, and a Bloody Mary. And I said, Stone Cold, why have one when you can have them both?
Welcome back for the College Football Preview Show on the OSG Sports Radio Network, Big East time, or just East, because until they can prove themselves to be big,
they're just East.
They're just the East. Our game of focus will be East Carolina at West by God, Virginia.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Skip Holtz really likes his defense, courtesy of our friends at WNCT-TV, and Bill Stewart, courtesy of our friends at WCHS-TV, is glad that he's got linebacker Reed Williams in his front seven.
I'm glad that we're upset with our defense and we gave up under 270 yards. I mean, when I look, I thought our defense played well. I thought our defense played really well. I was pleased with the way they played. I thought Linville Joseph played great up front. I think, you know, with C.J. Wilson, when C.J. wasn't cramping, he only played like 39 plays. You know, it's not like he played 72 plays, but for a defensive end and to have seven tackles and to be as active as he was and see the way he was playing, I thought our defense played really well.
I left out there one time and I said, I'm glad 47's in the middle of that defense. He looked to me like he was having a ball. He was enjoying himself. He was playing downhill. He was playing fast. And he did a really nice job. We didn't play him the entire game because we didn't want to.
East Carolina and West Virginia. East Carolina put Bill Stewart's schedule in a tailspin last year by getting the win in Morgantown last year.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, obviously they're trying to return the favor. This time East Carolina 1-7 against the number in their last eight games on the road. West Virginia 5-1 against the number in their last six when playing at home against East Carolina.
Yeah, what about when they play against everybody else?
I know. West Virginia right now 6-6.5 and 44.5.
Yeah, that probably sounds about right. And West Virginia is West Virginia. They're going to be always – they're a decent team.
Yeah.
They're not going to set the world on fire.
Team speed, we'll get to you.
And East Carolina is always, they're under Skip Holtz. They've been able to bite some people in the rear end.
You know, and that's East Carolina flew below the radar for the longest time. And then all of a sudden, people are now looking to East, whether they play, you know, Virginia Tech or whether they're playing a West Virginia. And then when they get to that bowl game and everybody sits there and goes, East Carolina, and then East Carolina wins a bowl game, everybody seems to be shocked. But that shock value, I think, has worn off in the last 2 years because of what Skip Holtz has developed in that program at East Carolina.
I agree. But I think West Virginia might have a little bit too much in the horse department for them this year.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Despite the losses, there's still quite a bit there on offense, and I don't expect that to change.
Wow, that's a big yellow jacket there in my food. That probably means I'm not going to be taking the food with me now. You know, the Big East really doesn't have a lot of home games this week, which in a way is a good thing because then that means we can actually talk about games that matter, and that's what we're going to do. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That works for me.
Wow. The one game in the Big East that really matters. All right. That's it for the Big East. When we come back, dread it other time. And once again, let's qualify the dreaded others before we go to break.
Explain to the peoples what we're talking about.
We're talking about everybody from the WAC to Conference USA to the Sun Belt and everything in between.
But just because we call it dreaded others
doesn't mean they're lesser teams.
Right. It's just because this way we can throw five or six different conferences into one block. That's why it's the dreaded others. And when we come back, you'll hear about one team, or about one coach who thinks that his squad is playing a better offense than he played last week on the OSG Sports Radio Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on the OSG Sports Radio Network.
The Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio.
The stadium rocks and swings.
Smokers, imagine being able to quit smoking forever, restoring your lost health and energy, saving tens of thousands of dollars, all without having to use patches, gums, or experiencing painful withdrawal symptoms. Well, stop dreaming, because Final Smoke is here. Final Smoke's safe, all-natural formula completely removes your physical addiction while flushing dangerous cigarette residue from your body. This powerful system removes all desire to smoke. It's already helped tens of thousands quit smoking and has a 92% customer satisfaction rating. And in an independent consumer survey, Final Smoke was rated as one of the best all-natural quit-smoking products. In fact, we're so confident Final Smoke will have you cigarette-free in just 7 days that if you don't quit, Final Smoke is absolutely free. Call now, and we'll include our special lung cleanser formula to promote clear lungs. Free!
Call 1-888-422-5712. That's 888-422-5712. Call 1-888-422-5712 now.
East Gadbrain! If we don't do something, I'll go out of my mind!
That's a short trip.
I'm going to give you a little advice. There's a force in the universe that makes things happen. And all you have to do is get in touch with it. Stop thinking, let things happen, and be the ball.
Welcome back, OSG Sports Radio College Football Preview Show on the OSG Sports Radio Network. Our game of focus in the dreaded others, Memphis and Middle Tennessee State, the Battle of I-40. Is that the one that goes that way?
Yeah, Middle Tennessee isn't quite on I-40, right, but they're not far from it.
Okay, close enough, 40 and 75. And let's hear from head coach Rick Stockstill and see if you catch what he says. And then you start scratching your head.
And we'll try and figure out why he's saying it.
Yeah, really. Courtesy of our friends at Middle Tennessee State.
With Memphis coming up this week, you know, it's a great challenge for us. And I said it last night, and you know, probably not many people are going to believe it, but I think their offense is better than Clemson's offense. You know, they don't throw the interception there at the end of the half against Ole Miss. It's a 10-7 game at halftime, and you know, it was a close game throughout the second half until Ole Miss got those three touchdowns in the last 5 minutes of the game. So they're a big physical team. They run well. Tommy's got a lot of, you know, junior college guys and transfers from other schools there. They're very talented. They run really well, and they got a lot of big play guys on offense at receiver and running back. So we've got a big challenge ahead of us this week. So
Blue Raiders TV gives us the idea that Rick Stockstill, thinks that the Memphis offense is better than the Clemson offense he faced last week. Has he lost his mind?
One would get that impression, wouldn't one? Memphis didn't exactly show out last week or light up the scoreboard or, well, pretty much do much of anything.
Yeah, that's kind of how that rolls.
You're looking at apples and oranges here when you're talking about a Memphis team, which isn't horrible.
No, but you are talking about Tigers and Tigers, even if you are talking about apples and oranges.
Yeah, as opposed to Bears, oh my.
Yes. Memphis, the under is 4-1 in the past five Memphis road games. And where Middle Tennessee State is concerned, the under is 6-1 in the past seven Middle Tennessee home games.
Yeah, it would be an interesting matchup with Stock still in his apparently better than Clemson offense versus Franklin and the Mitsu Raiders offense.
I know.
A team that generally lights up the board as well. They have a little trouble stopping people.
Yeah, this game's pretty much a push. Middle Tennessee's a one-point favorite, 52.5.
Yeah, I could see that. It would be a nice win for Mitsu to beat Memphis.
Well, they beat Maryland at home before, so beating people in Murfreesboro isn't something foreign to the Blue Raiders.
No, it isn't. And you're talking about you're talking about a team that 5-10 years ago was in the 1AA.
Yeah. And, you know, they've moseyed their way through. And the beautiful part about getting texts from your better halves during the show, one last check, are you sure you don't want me to pick you up anything from the American Communist Party bookstore while I'm in Berkeley?
I'm not even sure how I could comment on that.
I think the answer is no, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'm on a diet I'm trying to cut back.
Yeah, I'm trying to quit on my communist overtones. Okay, the rest of the games. Oh, you know, in the East?
Yes.
We forgot about North Carolina and UConn.
We did.
Yeah, we did. Considering it's a noon kickoff.
Oh, well, I guess probably we should talk about that.
Eh.
Or
it's done. The moment passed.
Then let's move on.
Colorado and Toledo Friday. Colorado is a 4-point favorite on the road at Toledo in the MAC. Dan Hawkins needs this one badly.
Yes, he did after kind of rolling over to arch rival. Well, would Colorado State be an arch rival for him?
Yeah, state rival, arch rival, you know it.
And
considering Colorado State won, and Cody Hawkins is still quarterback, and Dan Hawkins is catching flack for that.
Yeah, Colorado really hasn't done a whole lot since Hawkins has been there. I would agree with you. If they don't win this game, and Toledo is a contender for the bottom five, which we will talk about a little bit later. Lose this game, the seat. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes.
Warm or in his seat. Army, 1.5 favorite hosting Duke.
Okay.
I think I got your response to that one.
Yeah.
BYU.
Wow, how fortunes change.
Yeah, BYU Tulane, Texas at Wyoming, Louisiana Tech at Navy. Navy's a 7.5-point favorite there. UAB's an 11.5-point favorite. Big week for Joe Hall last week, setting a Conference USA record for rushing yards in a game by a quarterback at 194. Pitt at Buffalo in the MAC. Pitt's an 11-point favorite for the Bulls season home opener. Scanning. Kansas at UTEP. Central Florida is at Southern Miss. Boise State, 36.5, 37-point favorite at home hosting Miami of Ohio. Tulsa at New Mexico. Stop me if you want to talk about any of them. South Florida at Western Kentucky. Ohio U at North Texas. Oh, yeah, you have to talk about this one. Kansas State, 7 or 8 at Louisiana Lafayette.
Why do I have to talk about that one?
Why do you think you have to talk about that
one? I know your reason behind it.
Yeah. I'm
not sure what to really say about the Fighting Ricky Bussells or the Fighting Bill Snyders, though I do find it interesting that Kansas State actually making the trip down to Lafayette for that game.
Hey, paycheck's a paycheck. When we come back, it's the adoptees, the Dirty Dozen, Bottom Five.
bottom of the barrel.
That's what we call the end of the show on the OSG Sports Radio College Football Preview Show on the OSG Sports Radio Network.
Stay tuned. More college football previews are coming up on this special edition of Count Porter Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9506.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9506. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9506. That's 800-376-9506.
That's all we got. One goddamn hit.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's Division One football. It's the Big 12. Go play intramurals, brother.
Bottom of the barrel here for the OSG Sports Radio College Football Preview Show, and this is where we talk about the adoptees and the Dirty Dozen and the Bottom Five here in the bottom of the barrel. Let's just start with the history-making stuff. South Alabama has their first game ever, and they take out Hargrave Military Academy's JV squad, 31-13 at Ladd Peebles. And Old Dominion has their first football game in 60 years on campus, playing Shawan. Shamon Jamon it out of North Carolina. I think they're a Division II school.
What is...
Chowan, C-H-O-W-A-N.
Oh, I thought you said Shawan.
I did. That's how it's pronounced.
Didn't he used to play for a couple the Cubs and the Giants?
Yeah, and
Shawan
the
Dunston.
Yeah, Shawan Dunston. Yeah, exactly.
Good to know he started his own college.
Yep. And here's your post-game reacts, courtesy of our friends at WEAR TV. You'll hear Joey Jones and Bobby Wilder from our friends at Wavy TV in the Hampton Roads, Norfolk area.
Oh, it was inspiring. It was inspiring to all of us. Our kids were incredibly energized by it. Remember, we had been here four times and run scrimmages, but the stands were empty. You know, we'd done everything from warming up to changing in the locker room to wearing the game uniforms. But the only thing that was missing was the stands being full. And when those stands are full and this place exploded, when we came running out, I didn't feel like my feet were on the ground from all the way back here till I got to our sideline. It was just an unforgettable moment.
The offensive line did a great job blocking. The backs hit the holes. You know, they did their job as well. We felt like in this first game to take some pressure. You know, our youngest guy on our offense was a freshman quarterback. And so let's put it in the hands of the offensive line and the running backs. Pound the football. We did that.
Okay, guys, here's my Dirty Dozen. At number 12, I got the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. At 11, the Cincinnati Bearcats. LSU comes in at 10. California, after the huge win, and I mean big win, over Maryland, 52-13. And I got them at number 9. Boise State and the Broncos, God, I like that team. They're at number 8. BYU, how impressive were they against Oklahoma? I got them at number 7. Alabama at 6, Penn State at 5, Oklahoma State at 4, Southern Cal at 3, Texas at 2, and, of course, the Florida Gators at number 1. My bottom five reads like this. Duke at number 5. I hate to put the Blue Devils there, but you just can't lose to a 1AA team, albeit Richmond, the defending 1AA champions. Had some swagger, but still, you're Duke. You're in the ACC. You're in a BCS league. You don't lose to 1AA teams. New Mexico State at 4. Washington at 3, although they looked pretty good against LSU, and good to see Jake Locker back to run that offense. Washington State at 2, and my number one team in the bottom five, the Virginia Cavaliers. That's my list, guys.
All right, time for the moment of truth. Wilkie already gave us his Dirty Dozen and bottom five. Where do you want to start first, with the 12 or with the 5?
Might as well start with the best.
12.
Okay, let's see. Let me guess who's in there. Florida?
Yeah, though I still I still question the whole exhibition season thing that they're doing at the beginning of the year. Hey, Charleston Southern and Troy to start the year? Come on, guys. You can do better than that.
You have Texas at number two.
I do have Texas at number two. Do you agree with that, or do you?
No, I'm just mouthing off. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just going.
And with Oklahoma going by the wayside, I think Texas is the second best team in the country. I don't see anything really to anybody that's at this early point in the season that could jump up and argue that point.
Bama at number three. Great showing in the kickoff game at the Georgia Dome.
Agreed. They played well, beating Virginia Tech in the kickoff classic. They've got a couple things they need to work on. Greg McElroy's still a work in progress, but the it's going to get better for them as they go, and they're pretty good now.
Penn State at number four for you.
That's the best team in the 10, by far. I see no reason why they shouldn't run the table in the 10 and end up being, at the very least, a contender for the BCS championship game.
USC at number five.
Yes. Little question there. They were a little sluggish out of the gate, but
freshman quarterback.
Yeah, and it's USC, so they deserve top five ranking. We'll see what happens this week when they play Ohio State.
Oak State and Houston. At six, Oak State, yeah, they're playing Houston.
Yeah, Oak State, right now they deserve the number six ranking. They played really well last week against Georgia. They're a traditionally strong starting team. We'll see how they finish.
Ole Miss with the week off at number seven, one quarter of the squad. Right now battling H1N1. How ironic that a team in the SEC is fighting the swine flu.
I'm here to tell you about drugs and alcohol and why they're bad, okay?
Think about it.
Yes.
Next door neighbors, thank you.
Thankfully, it wasn't Arkansas, because then the jokes would be flying.
Yep, BYU at eight.
Good win last week against Oklahoma down in Dallas. Strong team. They're deep. Max Hall at quarterback, a very talented kid. May have played his way into first-round draft status. Just on the basis of what happened last week.
Boise State at 9, Ohio State at 10 in the 12, and LSU at number 11 playing Vanderbilt.
Yeah, we talked about that game a little bit earlier on. I like this team. I think Jordan Jefferson's a fantastic quarterback. They're loaded at running back. The O-line's intact. The question with them is just defense. If the defense gets it together, look out.
Georgia Tech has already played Clemson. They were your number 12 this week.
They were, and for obvious reasons, they're a pain in the ass to play. Because
they
run something different than everybody else does. Plus, they're talented. Jonathan Dwyer, first time he touches the ball in 2009, he goes 92 yards for a touchdown. What a way to start your year.
Is the triple option the new spread?
Not this year. Maybe not next year. 2 years from, or 2 to 3 years from now? Yeah. If Georgia Tech finishes in the top 10 and goes to the BCS more than once, absolutely.
Bottom five time, which means it's the crappiest crap, the dreggiest of the dregs.
The worst of the worst.
And we have some new folks in here this year. This week, number five, you still have SMU.
Yeah, they're going to have to earn their way off of that one. They were pretty bad last year, though they did start this season off with a victory, and they played a team that cohabitated with them in the bottom five last year. That would be UAB this coming up week.
SMU, however, is 1-19 straight up in their past 20 September road games. Number four.
Not a good sign.
Western Kentucky.
Look what happened to them against Tennessee. Tennessee rolled over them like they weren't even there. Not a good team, and they've got South Florida this week. Don't expect that to change.
South Florida, 7-3 against the number. Their past 10 is a favorite of more than 8 points. And Western Kentucky won their only September home game in 2008.
Well, that's good.
If you're digging those kinds of trends. We have a new visitor at number three.
Dukie?
Duke.
This is disappointing to me. I really thought that might be one of the surprise teams in the ACC this year.
Yeah, surprise.
Yeah, surprise. They lost to Richmond, who's not even a top-flight 1AA team.
Whoa. They're defending 1AA champions there, pal.
They were?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I should know that, shouldn't I?
Mr. Georgia Southern.
Yes, I should. But still, it's a 1AA team. If you have any aspirations for a bowl game in 2009,
yeah, you
gotta
that's beat
not the way you
want
to start your season.
Your number two is Virginia.
They may be fighting this out with Washington State this year.
Bill, Mary, and Al.
Yeah.
It's a bad threesome.
And an ugly L at that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get any better this week when they face TCU.
And your number one is still Washington State by default.
Yes, and they're going to have to earn their way off of this list. They were horrible last year. And I don't know that that's going to change anytime soon. I hope they're comfortable with that knowledge, and maybe they might actually try to do something about it here and make some changes up there in Pullman, because that's a bad football team.
Again, Hawaii, 3-6 against the number in their last 9 on the road. The over is 7-1 the past 8 Washington State home games in September. Any final thoughts?
No, I mean, this is a little less intense than opening week. There are a lot of good games that started the season last week. There aren't quite as many this go around. Obviously, USC Ohio State's the headliner, but it really falls off from there.
And what he said. So, for Phil, for Wilkie, I'm just John. J-Dub, take us home.
Bye-bye.
Post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, The World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.